Good morning. And I am really happy because outside today it is beautiful and praise God. Our topic this morning is how to die right and live to tell about it. Seriously, we will show you today how to get a brand new life so you can live forever. One point I want you to remember is that the Holy Spirit will make this happen the moment that you make your decision to be baptized into Jesus Christ. His name was Abby Hoffman, and he was born in 1937 in the United States, and he became a political rebel in the 1960s and 70s. He led many protests against the American government and the American way of life. One time, to protest against capitalism, he and some friends went to the New York Stock Exchange, where they threw dollar bills over the railing, where the stock traders below were grabbing at the money, and this was his symbol for the capitalist greed. In the mid-1970s, Hoffman was arrested for a drug charge. Rather than face a trial, he changed his name to Barry Freed, had plastic surgery, which changed his appearance. And years later, he gave himself up to the police, and in 1980, he got a light prison sentence, and finally, in 1989, Abby Hoffman committed suicide on an overdose of sleeping pills. What can we learn from the story of Abby Hoffman? Mr. Hoffman tried to change his own life himself. He got a new name, a new face, and a new identity, all in an attempt to get away from his past life. But it didn't work. The pull from his past life was so strong that he went back to it, even despite the threat of jail. Eventually, that led him to commit suicide. Now, I have a very important question for you. Do you have a past life that you are trying to get away from? Are there things that you've done that make you feel bad, make you feel guilty, make you feel ashamed or afraid? Or perhaps you are struggling with bad habits, things you know are wrong that you'd like to be free from. Perhaps it's addiction to tobacco or drugs or alcohol or something sexual or a bad temper or hatred or pride. Maybe you have a struggle with things in your past, and maybe the people you have hurt remember the bad things that you've done. Perhaps worst of all, you can't forget either. Maybe you've done something wrong to someone, and maybe those that you've wronged have forgiven you, but you haven't forgiven yourself. Take courage, my friend. If any of these categories fit you, I have a message of hope for you. First, if you have done wrong, you are not alone. The Bible teaches that all have done wrong. We are all sinners. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. There is a story told about Adolf Eichmann, the notorious Nazi war criminal. When on trial in Jerusalem, Eichmann confronted one of his accusers. And when the man saw Eichmann's face in the courtroom, he fainted. Later, he was asked, "Why did you faint? Was it because you saw all the evil in him?" And the man replied, "No. When I looked into Eichmann's face, I saw myself. I saw all my own potential for evil." Yes, we all have great potential for evil, and not just any potential either. We all know evil, and one way or another, we have all done it ourselves. In New Orleans, after Hurricane Katrina, after the city was flooded, the police were no longer able to function effectively. Thousands of people became looters, committed rapes, and other acts of violence. There was no justification. It was just a violent rampage. Some even became snipers, firing their weapons at the police and even rescue helicopters. Whatever bad things you may have done in the past, I'm here today to give you hope. Hope of forgiveness, hope of salvation, hope of acceptance with God, and hope of a new life free from sin and guilt. That hope for all of us is in Jesus. And the place where all of us sinners can connect with him is at the cross where he died for us. My friend, don't ever feel that you are too bad to come to the cross. Jesus died for the worst sinners at the cross. Jesus died for the New Orleans snipers and the New Orleans rapists. Apostle Paul put it this way. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners of whom I am chief." Regardless of your past, regardless of how bad you've been, regardless of how bad you might be now, you have forgiveness and restoration and healing at the cross with Jesus. How many of you want that today? How many of you were sick from your past life, sick of your sins, sick of your bad habits, sick of your guilty conscience? How many of you want a new life in Christ Jesus? Well, my friend, I want you to know that God is willing to wipe your slate clean. This morning, you can experience the fact that you are loved and accepted by God, despite your sins and past mistakes. Accept Jesus right now as your Savior and Lord, and have a fresh start, a brand new life, receiving new life in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news? It is indeed. I believe that many of you have already made that choice, that you have given yourself to Jesus. And all the promises of God are found in Jesus, and through him they became ours. What a wonderful God, what a wonderful opportunity God offers us through Christ. Amen? Now, all this leads to one very important topic this morning, so please listen carefully. It is something that Jesus did as he began his ministry. What do you think it is? Well, here this verse tells us. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him, and John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But then Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Jesus himself was baptized. If Jesus, the sinless one, was baptized to fulfill all righteousness, how much more important it is for you and me to be baptized. As his followers, we want to follow his example, don't we? Now let's look at what Jesus told his disciples about the importance of baptism. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Not only did Jesus set an example of baptism, he commanded his disciples to teach people about him and baptize them. Obviously, baptism into Christ is a vital part of being a Christian. It is the command of Jesus. That's why we find so many examples of baptism throughout the New Testament. In the book of Acts, Peter gave a powerful sermon to thousands who had gathered in Jerusalem, and near the end of his sermon, he said to them, Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Here we see his instruction to those who accepted Jesus to be baptized. And then those who gladly received his words were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. From the earliest days of the church, those who had made a decision to follow Jesus were baptized. Another time, Paul was in jail with Philippi with some other believers. There was a violent earthquake, and the walls came down. And they were able to escape, but they didn't leave. And when the jailer saw what had happened, he was impressed. And he saw something. He saw God's power. And he cried out, saying, What must I do to be saved? Note the apostles' answer. So they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. His entire family accepted Jesus, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Again, we see how important baptism is. We see from Jesus' example and his command. As his sons and daughters, you and I want to follow Jesus' example and obey his command, don't we? Let's look at another interesting New Testament story. Here, Philip preached to a man who the Bible refers to only as a eunuch, who had great authority under the queen of Ethiopia, about Jesus' death and resurrection. And the man came under conviction. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Baptism always follows the profession of faith in Jesus. If you love Jesus and want to serve him, if you love Jesus with all your heart, you will want to be baptized. As Jesus himself said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Do you believe in Jesus? Who here believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Who here believes that Jesus died for your sins? And who here believes that in Jesus you can be forgiven? Who here believes that through Jesus you can start over and have a brand new life? If you do, then the next step you will want to take is to follow his example, the command of Jesus, and be baptized. Now this leads to another important question. What does it mean to be baptized? The Bible is clear. The Apostle Paul, who was also was baptized, explained it like this. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. Paul's point is this. When we profess to follow Jesus, we have made a choice to die to our old lives and live a new life in him. We chose to serve a new master, Jesus. We chose Jesus as the Lord and Savior of our lives. Were you once a drunk? Well, you have, through the power of God, chosen to die to the old drunk that you once were. Were you once sexually impure? Well, you have chosen to die to the person that was once sexually impure. Were you once violent, greedy, deceitful, or hateful? Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. When we make the commitment to Jesus, we choose to renounce our old ways. We choose to die to the old person who used to do those things. And that is what is symbolized by baptism, and made possible by the Holy Spirit, whom God will send to you and empower your decisions and help you live a better life. Then by going down into the water, symbolically you are buried in the waters with Jesus. You are showing the world that you have made a decision to die to the person you once were. A number of years ago, there was a young man from a non-Christian home. He had been studying the Bible with some Christians. After being convicted of the truths of the Bible, he chose to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and he decided to be baptized. None of his friends and family were supportive. They were strongly against his baptism. He told a friend that he was going to be baptized, and he replied, "I hope you drowned. Some friend." But in a spiritual sense, baptism is about dying, dying to our corrupted human nature and receiving a new divine nature that enables us to become like Jesus. It's about what Paul says a few verses later in Romans 6. Our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. But this is only the beginning. We don't just go under the water just to die to our human nature. We come up out of the water as a new person in Christ. We may still make bad mistakes, but now we have a new godly nature that is operating in us. Isn't that wonderful? Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not just the old life that has passed away. We have new life in Jesus. We have been born again into a whole new existence in what Paul calls the newness of life. There's a Greek word for this kind of life. It is different from the word used to describe other kinds of life. It is the word zoe, which means life as it is in God. I want this life, don't you? Millions of people all around the world can testify that new life in Jesus is a wonderful experience. Some of the meanest and nastiest people you can imagine have turned into the kindest and nicest people you can find anywhere. Such is the new life that God offers to you and to me, a life symbolized by baptism. His name was Ron, and he was a violent member of a tough street gang in New York. You didn't want to get him upset if you knew it was good for you. He was a tough guy. Then, through the amazing providence of God and the love of a Christian friend, Ron gave his heart to Jesus. Some of you may know him, Ron Halverson, Sr. This tough, violent street kid put away his knives and guns and picked up the Bible instead. And today, he's an evangelist going around the world. What he is doing today is preaching about Jesus. That's because he made the decision to die to his old nature and obtain new life in Christ Jesus. And that's what baptism is all about. Wouldn't you like that new life too? The act of baptism is our public expression that we have decided to follow Jesus. We can tell everyone now that we are followers of Christ. I have one final important question to answer. When the Bible talks about being baptized, what does that mean? The Bible says there is only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Only one baptism, the Bible says. And like everything that God asks us to do, man has tampered with baptism. Some baptize by sprinkling babies, and others pour water on children, and even others baptize with rose petals. However, the Bible tells us how baptism is to be carried out. To begin with, the Greek word baptizo tells us that baptism means to dip in or under. There was a friend who was told where to meet a Greek waiter in a restaurant, where he asked him what the word baptizo meant in Greek. The waiter broke off a piece of his donut and dunked it down into his coffee. He said, "There, I just baptized my donut." Of course, the Bible doesn't talk about baptizing in coffee. The Bible says we should be baptized in water. Thus, it is clear that baptism is done by submersing people under water, not coffee. Which signifies that we are totally immersed in Christ, totally given over to him, and totally surrendered to him. Describing the work of John the Baptist, the Bible says people came from all over and were baptized by him in the Jordan River. They were baptized in the river. Baptism doesn't make sense if you go in the river when you're just sprinkling someone. And the Bible describes that Jesus' baptism by John, saying, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Jesus came up immediately out of the water. What does this sound like to you? Does it sound like submersion, or does it sound like sprinkling? Obviously, submersion. You don't come up after sprinkling. Now, John also was baptizing in Anon near Salim, because there was much water there. Much water there? Why would that matter? You don't need much water to sprinkle. A cup could do. Remember the text about the eunuch who was baptized? So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. Pretty clear, isn't it? Yes, the Bible is clear. Baptism is done by immersion. And there is a great deal of archaeological evidence, paintings, mosaics, ancient buildings, that all can illustrate conclusively that the early church baptism was done by immersion. Ancient baptistries can still be found in North Africa, Turkey, Italy, and other places that testify that the early church baptism was done by immersion. There is no reference in the Bible about sprinkling, much less baptizing infants. These practices came much later when the church lost its way. All these are the traditions of men, not the commandments of God. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 15:9. And in vain they worship me, teaching as the doctrines the commandments of men. You may ask, is it really necessary to be baptized? Listen to what Jesus told Nicodemus about the importance of being baptized. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Sounds pretty important, doesn't it? Again, from the lips of Jesus, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Jesus is linking the belief of baptism and the belief of salvation. Of course, baptism doesn't save us. It's simply the outward sign that we have been saved and that we want to be saved. Some ask, should a person ever be re-baptized? Of course, there's no need to be re-baptized every time we sin. That's not what the Bible is teaching us. But there are two circumstances where re-baptism could be appropriate. First, if you were once a believer in Jesus, but left Jesus, like divorcing Jesus, but now you've come back and recommitted your life to Jesus, rebaptism may well be in order. And two, if you've accepted new truth and discovered that your life has been out of harmony with the clear teachings of the Scripture, then the Bible teaches us that rebaptism is in order. You can read such a story in Acts 19:1-5, where Paul rebaptized some believers who learned new truth. Have you learned important new truths in these meetings if you've come? Then rebaptism may be in order for you. Now, I want to ask a personal question. Anyone who's never been baptized, answer it prayerfully in their own heart. Are you ready? Here's the question. Are you ready to be baptized? You are ready if the answer is yes to the following. First, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for your sins? Second, have you claimed for yourself the salvation that Jesus offers? Do you claim Jesus as your personal Savior now, and do you claim his righteousness as your only way to heaven? And three, have you repented from your sins? The Bible says, repent and let every one of you be baptized. Have you claimed his forgiveness for yourself, personally? If you can answer yes to these questions, the Bible teaches us that you are ready to be baptized. You are ready to make a statement to the world, to your family, and to your friends, that you are a new person in Jesus, and you are seeking to walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. If that's you, I say as Apostle Paul said, And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. There was a young woman studying the Bible for 6 months, and now she wanted to be baptized. Her husband was furious and said if she was baptized, he would kill her. She was determined to move forward, though, and believing that this is what God wanted her to do, her husband pulled out a gun and said, "If you do this, I will shoot you when you return home." What could she do? She believed in Jesus and had committed her life to him. So, despite her husband's threat, she was baptized and left her life in God's hands. When she came home, her husband stood at the door of the house with his gun in his hand. "Did you do it?" he demanded to know. "Yes, husband, I did do it," she said, "and I am now ready to die." The husband looked at her, and he saw the peace on her face. He saw that she was ready to die for her faith, and he dropped his gun. He couldn't do it. 6 months later, he too committed his life to Jesus and was baptized. Her public profession and faith in Jesus changed her husband's life completely. Yes, friends, baptism is a life and death decision. It's the choice to die to the old self and live for Jesus. In some cases, those who make that choice do literally lose their lives, like in this story. That's why a long time ago, Jesus said, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." Are you ready to die to self and live for Jesus, regardless of the cost? Don't you want to express your desire to be wholly his by following your Lord in his example of being baptized? Please consider this as we sing our closing hymn, hymn number 318, Whiter Than Snow, hymn number 318.
Edward will say something in between each verse that we sing.
Will you please stand? Friends, I would like to make an appeal this morning. If it is your desire to follow your Lord in the sacred rite of baptism, maybe the Spirit is speaking to your heart right now. Friend, don't resist the Lord's calling. Jesus stepped forward into the waters of baptism as an example for us. And now, it is your privilege to follow his example and be baptized also. I invite you to step out wherever you are, come down front here and tell the world that you have decided to prepare for baptism in the near future. Please come forward. I want to pray for you. I'm wondering whether there isn't someone else who needs to make a decision to prepare for baptism. Maybe you're not ready to be baptized today, but you need to make a decision to be baptized. Or maybe you have studied and you have just never taken the final step and been baptized. We will be having a baptism next week, and I invite you to be a part of that. So whether you are ready now or you'd like to get ready in the near future, please come forward. Friends, the Spirit is calling you to take a stand publicly for your Lord. Jesus says in Matthew 10:34-32, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Now is your opportunity to take a stand for Jesus. Come forward right now. Decide to have a new start with Christ Jesus. Please bow your heads with me for the benediction. Jesus, we thank you so much for what you have done for each one of us through your death and resurrection. We thank you that you loved us so much that you died for us. We thank you for those who've come forward and sealed in their hearts their decision to follow you and be baptized. Lord, I pray that as your Spirit moves upon the hearts of everyone here, that you will bring out the faith and repentance of all who are ready. And that your Spirit will convict each of us who needs to make this important decision to do so right now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.